This episode of Well Met is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 97 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is February 12th, 2017 from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horseman. With me, of course, is the crew. Let's start by hopping down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana with our very own Tannen Grace. Hey Tannen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, John. It's going to be a good one this week. We got a lot of cool things to talk about, a little different than normal.
Yeah, we do. We like drama. We don't like drama.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of drama to talk about.
I like when it's someone else's.
Yeah, I like it when it's somebody else's and it's not all hearsay. That kind of drama is fun. Let's head over to Kansas City, though, with our very own Star Wars Destiny champion, J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R., man.
Hey, John. Thanks for that little intro. For those that don't get it, I just played in a little local tournament this week with Star Wars Destiny, the CCG I talked about a couple episodes ago, and played my first tournament and won. So that was
cool. He won.
Yeah, I'm 100% now, so I need to just go out on top and retire like Peyton Manning.
Right. So you're undefeated now in Star Wars Destiny. So you're able to keep it there. I was getting into a little Reddit argument about Hearthstone being a coin flip. Now we can for sure say that Star Wars Destiny is not a coin flip.
So, hey, you roll dice, though. So it's very
it's a
RNG.
Dice roll, not a coin flip.
Yeah, so you got a 1 in 6 chance instead of 1 in 2, I guess.
They're very different, a dice roll and a coin flip. Very different, very, very different. Yeah. Well, hey. Hi, guys. Hey, chat. Hey, everybody listening at home, in your car, wherever you are. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode. We've got a bunch of stuff to chat about. Of course, let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone first. And you know what, Tannen, why don't you go ahead and lead us off? What have you been up to in Hearthstone this week?
So this week's actually been interesting for me. I've barely played a game on the ladder this week, and I'm not really upset about it. It's not because the meta's stale or anything like that, like the reasons you normally hear people complain about it. It's, people who, you know, don't know me, is I was an arena first player when I first started playing, you know, just pure arena. You know, I built my collection that way. I'm like a free-to-play player. Now I have all the cards. And I saw this the rankings come out for top 100 arena players from all the different regions. And I was like, I could do that. You know, like I remember when I used to be able to average as many wins. Honestly, it's a lot harder than it seems. Arena is a little bit harder than I remember. But I've been playing a bunch of it lately, mostly on the EU client, because that's where I had like a bunch of gold saved up, like ready to, you know, play on arena and stuff. And I've actually been doing better on that than on NA. So NA better than EU confirmed, obviously.
There it is.
But
No bias.
Had to go there. But I'm averaging a little over like six, right around 6 or 7 wins. Actually, Hunter, surprisingly, has been carrying a lot of weight for me. I think that class is really underrated in Arena. If you play it the right way, it's really, really good right now. Other than that, just Arena.
Nice. Well, good for you. For all you Arena fans who send me emails every week demanding more Arena with our previously all constructed crew, well, now you got somebody to talk to about Arena. He's going to do his own podcast. He's going to call it the Tanrena.
And, I like it.
You know, very, very catchy. Made that up on the spot. So, yeah, it'll be great. The Tanrena. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Google Podcast right now. Just kidding. We'll talk about it here on the show instead.
So, I think I've actually got some backup in the arena on this show recently. Isn't that right, JR?
Yeah. So that's going into mine. That's sort of what I've been doing this week, because I also just had gold kind of left over, and I'm like, I can spin and buy some packs, or I'll just play arena.
So
I'm not as good as you, though.
I already have to listen to Magic the Gathering and baseball nonstop. And now I have to freaking listen to Arena Talk too. Fine. So be it.
You should know what you were signing up for when you got me on the show.
I know, right?
Baseball is my first love. Don't even get me started.
I joke. And tomorrow, honestly, me too, dude. Like, I'm one of the biggest Minnesota Twins fans you'll ever meet.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's why I don't talk about it much, because there hasn't been anything to talk about since 2009. Anyways, wow, we are way off here. So we're going to go ahead. I was going to say, though, I make fun of Arena a lot, but I actually really enjoy Arena. I avoided Arena because I wanted to have the right cards so that I can more easily tell if it was me making the mistakes or just bad cards. And at the time, I didn't know the cards or the game well enough to know that, oh, man, these cards aren't very good, or, oh, I suck. So I wanted to make sure that I knew that I sucked. As for me, I've been learning Pirate Rogue this week. So that's been fun.
The really aggressive version, like Muzzy's List?
It's not like Pirate Rogue. Like, I hate it, because every time I say Miracle Rogue, people get confused. Every time I say Pirate Rogue, it's confused. It's Miracle Rogue with the pirate package.
So you have Auctioneer.
Yes. Okay. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot. You know, I've been playing a lot of Shaman, and I was like, you know what? I'm ready to switch it up. My gold Shaman can wait, even though I want to finish it up before the end of the expansion for obvious reasons. And and so I've been playing this deck, and I love it, because with Shaman, you pretty much know when you win or lose, especially with like aggro Shaman. Like, you know when the game's done, hit concede, move on. With Rogue, you almost always feel like you could draw, you know, one draw away, you could always come back. You always feel in it. You feel a little bit more the master of your own destiny. So I had a lot of fun with that this week, and played a lot of Overwatch too, though, because come on, it's Overwatch.
Yeah, every time I sign on, you're playing Overwatch. Let's say, where are the Rogues game? These Rogues games coming from?
These Rogues games are coming from usually like pretty early in the morning. I try to be more alert when I'm playing Hearthstone, so I usually play in the first half of the day.
So I can just see that John wakes up in the morning, gets his morning cup of Joe, you know, his morning cup of coffee, and he's like, I feel like, you know, cycling some preps off my Auctioneer right about now. That's not the first thing I think about when I wake up.
I've been struggling a little bit because I'm a full-time student. I'm doing this full-time, pretty busy. But my stress levels can get out of whack pretty easily. And so I have this focus medicine. It's not like Adderall, but it's kind of a very, very, very tame form of that, where I can just focus really hard on single tasks and not get tweaked out about it. And it's been great for waking up in the morning, popping that, and then playing some Hearthstone, because I can just play for like hours, not get tilted, and so it's been really great for me to just kind of be able to focus on the things I need to focus at. So that was a lot of fun. But what do you say we talk about the news? Let's do.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Yes, we've got lots of news to talk about this week. But before we get started, we do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Corel. Thank you so much for your support of the show. We couldn't be doing this without you. If you like Well Met and want to support the show and want to play a show match, you know what I'm deciding that I'm doing? I'm making a thing right now. Any new or existing patrons, We'll play a show match with you after the show on Sunday nights. So you can choose your opponent for who is able to attend that week. It's not the easiest for everyone to stay late, but I can at least stay late. I know Tannen's usually good to stay after. So if you like the show, want to play a show match, help support us, get in on some cool perks, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. And I don't know, do we have a match lined up tonight after the show, Tannen?
I know someone said they wanted to. They like kind of raised their hand in our Facebook chat group. They said they really wanted to. So if they're around, I'll check on in just a second. If they're around, I'll definitely play a match with them. I'm all up for beating up on some of our fans.
Whoa. Big words. I'm all up for you to beat up on me because that's likely what's going to happen. I'm not very good, but Tannen's very good. So good luck, guys. Anyways, all that good stuff. Let's talk about what happened this week in Hearthstone. So the first big thing, the new HCT card back has been announced. Very similar. I'm guessing this is similar to like the COG card back, right? That they had the last 2 years, where if you went to a Blizzard sanctioned event and put in your battle tag, you got one of those things. So I believe this is similar to that. It's pretty cool. Sorry on stream, I don't have it up, but it's like a fire type thing. It reminds me a lot of like the Ragnaros card back, or I think there was a BlizzCon card back too. That was the Draenor card back, maybe, that was kind of red like this as well. So yeah, that's what you can get for attending a. It was the Power Core card back. This is just for the HCT championship events, though. So
yeah, it's for all of them. Like, so if you miss this one,
winter,
you get
spring, summer, others. And worlds. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that one of those happens at BlizzCon or in Denver. Otherwise, I'm screwed and I won't get that. But yeah, so that's cool. What do you guys think of this card back? Is it pretty neat? Are you guys, you know, fawning over this? Are you really excited about it? Or are you like, meh, another card back for the collection?
So with card backs, like, I am obsessed with getting every card back. I'm just missing, like, the gold one, right? I have everything else. I even have the Tespa one that is kind of hard to get.
Me too. Me too, by the way. Yeah. Me too, guys.
Able to get
hey,
a code
guys,
for
me
it.
Too. Sorry.
I don't have it.
I was joking.
So, Tannen's just out of luck. He missed it. Maybe if you go enroll in college, you can get one. But
I went for 6 years, man.
Yeah, that's not how I got it. I just got lucky, basically. Yeah. But no, I try to get all of them. So the fact that I have to go to an event on this, I'm like, it's a card back. But at the same time, I'm getting like, even though I'm trying to keep up with all the card backs, at the same time, just there's a card back for everything, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I don't even care about them anymore, to be honest. Like, I'm like, oh, cool, that's a card back that I will never use because I will always use my Tespa one. Yep. Because that's a really cool looking card back. But or like, I'll use my Legend one.
JR, we can make it so that the, we can make a Patreon perk to send us to the Bahamas. You think that'll be okay?
I'm for it.
Right. I'm just kidding.
I won't be able to go because it's a weekend that I have other stuff planned anyway. So unfortunately.
All right, fine. Tannen, you just took JR's spot.
Yep.
Just kidding.
Yep. But no, it's just, there's just so many of them at this point that I just really feel meh anymore about new card backs.
I'm kind of the same way. I actually had a conversation with someone like this on Twitter this week about WoW mounts, because it felt very similar. There are so few of significance and so many for so many silly random things that it's hard to even have the significant ones feel like they have any significance. Like this one, immediately, unless somebody recognizes the HCT, oh, that's the HCT card back, you probably could put it next to the Ragnaros one or the Draenor one, and I would probably be like, which one's which? So, like, there's that aspect of it. But at the same time, it is cool. It's one of the few games outside of the game that you get kind of the longevity for people who don't want to grind up ladder. I believe Aranya, who was one of the original hosts, I believe, of Hearth Pro, was she, I think, I know she was there for quite a while.
She did a few episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. I know she was in there in the beginning ages. And she's like, that's one of the big reasons that I'm coming back, is I'm really excited to get these card backs and get my crime family card back. So there are quite a few people who do really like just having them regardless. It's a fun game. It's like pets in WoW. Tannen, how do you feel about the new card back?
Honestly, I forget we have card backs until someone mentions it. Like, I never notice my opponents. I haven't changed my own since I think the first time I went to BlizzCon. I think I changed myself to the BlizzCon card back because I was like, this is actually kind of cool or whatever. That's a personal thing. Not a, you know, not me attacking card backs and thinking they're stupid. They're obviously cool. It's another thing to collect in the game. You know, it's another thing to have in your collection of Hearthstone cards. If I had a full collection, I would want all of the card backs. You know, it'd be annoying to be missing something. A couple of them are definitely way cooler looking than the other ones, like the ones that have like, you know, some cool moving parts or some like some flashy parts. But the biggest problem I have with it is like I just don't notice it because you don't get to see your own card back ever. So right. I don't even realize that I have a, you know, a functional card back on the back of my cards because, I mean, like I don't see it. So just to me, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I really wish the Hearthstone team would find a better way for you to be able to showcase your own card back to yourself, even if it's like in the beginning, instead of a coin flip, it's a card flip and it's your card back and your opponent's card back and whoever it lands on. And then just find some way to make it work if you have the same card back. You know, just even things like that would be really cool to have. So again, even if you just see it for that 10 seconds at the beginning of the match, there's a little bit more, leverage in having and collecting those cool card backs. But
there's one other thing I wanted to say about it. Somebody in the chat actually like nailed it on the head because it's something I was thinking about. You know, they look cool, but I think it's more about what they represent a lot of the times too. Totally. You know, it's like, hey, I've got the Tepsa one, you know, like, or I earned this HCC one or whatever. So like, that is definitely a big deal. But like, I think that would mean more to me, you know, if I, you know, made it to the Bahamas and got this card back because I was there. You better believe that's the card back I'm using for pretty much the rest of my career.
Right. Yep, I want that Chinese New Year card back, please.
That's all I need.
The Golden New Year one. That's the I have one weird one I missed, but yeah, it's that's the one I want. Anyways, you can fly to the Bahamas, get one of those in March. So go ahead and do that. Show how dedicated you are to the game, listeners in chat. Next up, oh crap. Top 100 arena players for January 2017 have been announced. And yeah, so yeah, there's that.
I'm going to start this one out. I'm going to ask you two guys, are any of y'all even remotely surprised who the number one player in NA was?
No,
nope. I am not. Looking down the list, I there's something I want to point out, but yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I will say, for anyone who doesn't know, it was Crip. Like, pretty obviously, the guy's utterly insane at Arena. And the fact that he makes that many runs a month and still averages that high of an average is just a testament to how good he actually is at the game.
He's very good. Here's the thing, though. Yes, Crip runs a lot, but there is this person.
There's a few that are better, yeah.
Who starts their name with meow in this list. It's not.
No. It's a group of people.
It's a group of people.
And they're Chinese. Okay. They're Chinese. It's a group from Chinese that are playing because I don't believe they can play Arena in China or something like that. That's the way that I read it, at least.
So they play on NA. Thank you for clarifying that. I couldn't tell if just somebody was running hundreds of Arena runs a month.
They just don't sleep. Yeah.
It's nonstop or a bot, but it's okay. Cool. All right. So then in that case, nice. And 3104, good try, off by 0.01 average wins. That's brutal. That is brutal. JR, what do you think about this?
I was a little surprised. Like, I thought the average wins would be higher to be at the top.
Huh.
Now, granted, these are like really good. Like right now, I'm only averaging like 3. So I wouldn't be anywhere close. But we're looking at 6.5 to a little less than 8. I just really assumed like the top one would be an average of 8 or above. So I was a little bit surprised by that. But like these numbers are still like really, really good, though. I just expected it to be a little harder.
I wonder what it would look like if the players could like drop their 5 worst runs or something like that.
It'd be like very high.
Because yeah, I feel like that'd be a lot high. Because every once in a while you just draw blank, you draft blank, and you go 0-3.
That's true.
And it's not like Crypt's a bad arena player because his deck goes 0-3. It's his card choices were really bad for that round. It's why the 12 or 112, is that what it is? 110.
110, yeah.
Yeah, where they try to do 100 wins over 10 arena runs, basically only allowing you 20 losses. It's why it's next to impossible to do.
Yeah.
Because you just get such crazy, crazy drafts sometimes. So,
I mean, overall, I was like pretty excited about all this, right? Because it gives something to the arena player. I think I've mentioned this before on the show that I think one of the reasons people don't talk about arena as much or you hear as much about it is there's really nothing to it besides playing the game. Like, you don't get legend, you know, you don't get a number next to your name. And now you have something to strive for. Like, I would not be surprised if these numbers were higher next month. You know, the average wins, like players are trying a lot harder. Like, you heard me mention at the beginning of the show that I saw this and immediately it was like super motivated. And like, I find myself now like in games playing a lot harder, you know, and being harder on myself when I make a small mistake. Like, I lost a match today that I should not have lost because I made a small mistake in a turn. It just snowballed out of control. And there were some other big names on here, like Hafu got on here as well, averaging right at 7 wins over 34 runs. And for people who are like, you know, predominantly streamers, I have to believe all 34 of her runs are probably on stream or close to, you know, probably like 90-something% of them. Again, not a math scientist, but if it's close to it, she streams almost every one of her runs. Like, it is hard to stream and play perfectly all the time. And that's just another testament to how good these people actually are. And then you see these people that have like 100 runs. Like, that's just mind blowing. This has to be multiple people or something going on.
Right. Well, 100. Yeah, that dude had 107, and his name's That Dude.
Yeah,
which is a great name. By 117 runs, and he averaged 6.81 wins.
I've played against them multiple times. So I know that for a fact.
Merps.
That dude plays a lot of arena.
Merps from Hearth Arena and the Light Forge came in at 90 with 6.54 wins, which is pretty cool. I haven't checked the arena list at all. I don't know if there's any notable names on the European arena list. Taking a look, I'm not seeing any.
Yeah, I took a quick glance and didn't really notice anything. Yeah,
someone's called Hafu and Merps, so that I doubt that's both of them working together. I think someone actually is an arena god, made an account named after Hafu and Merps, and got on the top 100 list in EU.
That's some meta stuff right
there. That is dedication right there. That is pure dedication. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the guy with the name 12 Wins. I've played against them as well, and they have a really high average. That's all they do is play arena. I'm pretty positive, too. They have 75 runs, and like, you know, with a name like 12 Wins, this person's hardcore arena.
Yeah, someone in chat saying that Hafu and Merp stream together under that name.
37 runs a month, though.
Jeez. Huh.
Interesting. That's a lot of arena to play together on top of all the arena runs that Hafu already does. Wow, there we go. Foot in the mouth.
When your job is playing Hearthstone, it's really not that many.
I mean, what? How long do you think if it's let's just say the average? Well, the average, we know their average was what, 6.5, right?
Right.
10.
So that means you're playing 9 to 10 games. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're playing 9 games, 10 minutes per game. So best case scenario, you're talking 3 hours a day for the lowest on top of everything else you're doing. I guess it's feasible. It's just very consistent.
Right. Because you're talking 30-ish hours for a 30 run. They did 31, 37. So about 60 hours between the two. It's about a week and a half of a full-time job. Considering how much they stream, doesn't seem that far-fetched.
Fair enough, I guess. All right. All right. That's enough arena talk here before I start wigging out and having to go play Aggro Shaman to get it out of my system. We missed this last week. I don't know how we missed this. Maybe it was just having Ray on the show. We totally forgot. But the Hearthstone Global Games have been announced. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty cool. Basically, what it is they take 48 different participating countries and create a team of 4. The first person on each team is the top points earner in that country. So in the US, it's Hot Meowth. That's the only one I know of off the top of my head. And then the other 3 are voted on. And I believe it's just purely a popular vote, right? And the top 3 votes get the remaining 3 spots. And yeah, so that's it. And they're going to be competing for a team total of $60,000 or $15,000 individual. I believe total it's $140,000, something like that. So pretty neat there. What do you guys think about this? People have been asking for particularly first-party Hearthstone to switch up some formats, give us more team action, give us more storyline, give us more rivalry. Does doing a country-based popularity / top point earner type system, do you think that that resolves it? JR, I see you nodding your head, so...
I mean, it's good to have different formats. What I like about this is it's separate from HCT, right?
Right.
HCT still keeps, you know, what they've been doing the last couple of years, and that's good. What this reminds me of a lot is something that StarCraft II did several years ago. I want to say back in 2012 or something like that, where they were trying to, like, have this grassroots, like, esports campaign of rooting for your local heroes, basically rooting for your local players, rooting for the players that are from your town or from your country or things like that. And that's what this really to me feels like, is they've taken that kind of concept of, yeah, I'm going to root for USA, or I'm going to root for Canada, or I'm going to root for, you know, Germany or something like that. And those are the players I'm going to root for in these, you know, global style of games. And it worked really well, because you would have, you know, people cheering for their countries at these events. And it was pretty cool to see. On the flip side of that, though, it wasn't good for the competitiveness of StarCraft II, because you weren't really pitting up the best players against the best players in a championship format, because you were guaranteeing that players from USA would get in when necessarily they weren't necessarily the best players. You'd leave some players from South Korea out who would have beaten the players from, you know, US or something like that. So I like it that they're doing a different format like this, and, you know, getting that kind of national pride, local pride and things like that into a game without interrupting how HCT works.
Fair enough. What do you think, Tannen?
All right, I'm going to say my naysay on it first before I get into the multitude of reasons why I love this. The only thing I have a problem with is it's another case of the rich getting richer in Hearthstone with the popular vote. I mean, the most popular players are going to get to play in another practical invite-only tournament with a lot of money up top, and a lot of the middling tier or second tier players are just not going to have a chance because they don't have, you know, 70,000 Twitter followers, et cetera, to help vote them in. With that being said, if you want the NA team to be a little bit worse, guys, and your team to have a better chance to win, vote me in for NA. Just start a start a petition in every country that you're in. If you're listening to this in any country other than like whatever, you know, can vote for the United States, vote me in for NA. I'll go up there and you know what? I'll be okay. I'm not going to be better than your team most likely. So vote me in. Reasons why I love this, and believe me, I 100% do and will be watching this, is when it comes down to stuff like this. So like, you know, I'm not a big, I love sports, not a big gymnastics fan, not a big pole vault fan, stuff like that. Every
get
4 years,
get
though,
out right I now,
get,
Tannen.
Hold on. Every 4 years, I get super into it. Swimming, can't get enough of it. Love the Olympics. I'm, you know, patriotic, go America, love all of it. I'm actually a golf fan. I played a lot of golf growing up. There's an event called the Ryder Cup, and it's probably my favorite event in sports, one of my favorite events in sports. And what it is it's NA versus EU in golf. And they like pick the teams, they get the best players, and they pit against each other. And there's a bunch of different formats. It's like 1-on-1, 2-on-2, like best ball. And it's like you see these rivalries start. Like the best player in Europe will be playing against like Tiger Woods, you know, when he was really good. And I want to see that start happening in Hearthstone. Like, can't you picture like Firebat versus Tyson, like a big match at some point, you know, NA versus EU to like make it to the championship or in the finals, you know, or something like that. Like that right there, I guarantee you is going to have like 200,000 people watching it. It's going to be like just as big as BlizzCon and the World Championships. And when you start getting people into national pride and like their favorite players involved with it too, I mean, this is just a huge recipe for success. I would not be surprised if this is even bigger the second time around, like bigger prize pool. You know, they make bigger spectacle of it. Maybe even fly people in for like a LAN final or LAN, you know, top four, LAN top eight kind of thing. Maybe even attach it into BlizzCon. Like I envision this blowing up in some point.
Yeah. I think it reminds me of the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah. It's the same thing. Starts in like a couple weeks too. Excited.
Anyways, yeah, I definitely think they're dipping their toe in the water on this one. Just a little bit. $140,000-ish is nothing to sneeze at, even if it is over, I believe it's the top 16 teams. So when you like break that down on average, it's less than $10,000 a player, but still, and even then, like the lower teams, I think just get a couple grand or something like that. Just a couple grand for playing a card game on the internet, whatever. But I do think that if they are able to be successful and get people to channel into that national pride, I think it'll be great. The question is will people care? I think one of the tests that we saw was the Overwatch World Cup. And people were pretty wild about that one. I saw American flag t-shirts and all that stuff at BlizzCon. So I hope that they're successful with this. And, you know, Tannen, to your point, like one of the points you said is like, this is definitely the rich getting richer. But I feel like HCT is so, I don't want to say newcomer friendly, but I do want to say anyone can qualify as long as you have the time to play and are in a supported country to where, you know, we are able to get people like Hot Meowth and, you know, some of those other players. I think Dude is in like the top 10 as well. You know, there's a few different ones there. So you do get that, right? And it's okay for them to let some popular people, you know, get some airtime at the same time, really let the best shine.
Of course. The reason why they're the most popular, you know.
Right.
I was nothing against popular players.
Yeah. True. So that was it. And then that's it for the news. Let's go into esports.
The Pro Corner.
Yep. This week we've got quite a bit going on. No esports fast break this week, but here is what's been going on. We're going to talk about the Trinity series very quickly here. G2 defeated Luminosity 6-4, which is pretty neat. Tempestorm crushed Cloud9 6-1. And this was really interesting to me. Tempestorm is only the second team in 4 weeks to actually choose to not play Paladin instead, or to not play Hunter. Instead, they chose to not play Paladin. And yeah, they did pretty good with the Hunter as well, which is kind of neat. And then Alliance lost 4 in a row before coming back 6-4. So they're back.
That match was amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
That was they were down 0-4 and the casters were talking about it. I remember the number came out again, not a math scientist, but the number came out. They gave them a 5% chance to win the match and then they just swept them 6-0.
Yeah. It was a really great match to watch and it was really well played. Complexity was undefeated, no longer undefeated. They lost 6-4 to Team Liquid. And we were talking about this one last week. And something that we didn't get to talk about, though, because we didn't know at the time, is Super JJ dropped last minute due to a personal emergency. So they had 2 people piloting 6 decks, so 3 decks apiece on Complexity. So that probably hurt them a little bit. And they were really, I think it was Mage and Paladin, I think, are the ones that Super JJ was piloting, which are not easy decks. And Super JJ is arguably the best player on that team. So makes sense why they didn't win, I think. But Team Liquid's still very good. I mean, Nyria is on Team Liquid, and he just qualified for the Bahamas. So, you know, they've got some pretty good players there. And then, so that's it. Next week, though, we've got G2 versus Liquid. That's going to be a good one. Complexity versus Tempo Storm. Alliance versus Luminosity. And Cloud9 versus Virtus Pro. So, should be pretty
good. How did I do in my picks last week?
I don't know.
I think you were 100%, JR.
I think I was.
I chose Team Liquid. I thought I was the only one who chose Team Liquid to beat Complexity.
No, y'all two chose Liquid.
Y'all.
I'm from Louisiana. Come on.
Fair enough. All right.
It doesn't come out very often, but it does. Can I say one more thing about the Trinity series, though?
Yes.
For any of our listeners, if you haven't had a chance to watch it, I know it happens in like at 10 a.m., I think my time, if I remember right, like 10 a.m. So it's a little early during the day for U.S. guys, but you know, you might be in work or whatever. Do yourself a favor. Watch the VOD when you get home if you don't have a chance to watch it during the day. This is one of the best produced and best done shows I've ever seen in Hearthstone. Not only is the Hearthstone top notch, but the show itself is hilarious. I am a little remiss that next week we're not getting Admiral back with TJ. I think that was his last week doing casting, but Admiral and TJ for the last 2 weeks have just been knocking it out of the park. Not only has their casting been great, but they've been doing little skits and stuff. It's something Admiral and I actually talked about doing. I'm not trying to take credit for this, but something we talked about doing a few years ago when we were doing HPL. We talked about having a little more fun during the cast, like maybe set up some stuff ahead of time. And it's really shown like how much they've put in time and effort into the stuff. And the show has just been absolutely top notch. It's probably my favorite thing to watch in Hearthstone over the last year.
Totally agree. Even if you can only watch one series, because it is, one stream is a 6-7 hour investment. Which again, there's lots of like downtime between and stuff like that too. So you can probably shorten it to like 4 hours if you really want just all Hearthstone, or watch it at 2x speed or something like that on YouTube. But it's excellent Hearthstone and it's really funny too, even just to hear the teams, unless it's Tempo Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Tempo Storm is not funny at all. They're like the driest. It's like just San and Gara.
He's a very dry person.
Yeah. They're like, they're just both very dry and analytical. But like Luminosity, hilarious. I have not laughed so hard than hearing Chalky and Zalay go back and forth. So good. Anyways, do that. But we've got an even bigger tournament to talk about this weekend. The EU Winter Playoffs just finished early this afternoon, and congratulations to Pavel, Nyria, Green Sheep, and we cannot decide or agree on the pronunciation, but on stream it was Stan Udakai, and then we believe it might be Stan Udachi. So
that's how I heard it, but it could be Udakai, because I would believe how they say it on stream, because maybe he finally corrected some people, because I've never talked to the person. So
either way, Stan, good old Stan, congratulations, you're going to the Bahamas. Pavel does take the first place there. So he takes 20 HCT points with him as well. So that's a big deal. The Hearthstone World Champion in 2016 is already qualified for the Winter Championships. And the top four from there qualify for World Championships. Yep. So that's a big deal. That's a big step to be there. Mm-hmm. So what are we thinking? Should we just go straight into it? Should we just go straight to the drama? All right. Yeah. All right. Put on your drama hats, kids. This was an interesting one. So perfect. So if we go back into history a little bit, Hearthstone history, Pavel and Amnesiac were in the, was it the World Championship Grand Final? Was it a semi?
Yep.
It was the grand final, right?
No, it was the, I would say Pavel beat semi-final? Someone else in the final. I think he was the semis. It was like the semis or the quarters. I can't remember,
It was.
Could be wrong.
Something like, anyways, a very critical point in the World Championships. And Pavel, he basically won off of a babbling book draw that he got. So the card off the babbling book, I forget what it was. And anyways, Amnesiac played it great. Be like, you guys shouldn't be giving Pavel. He played great and he deserved this win. Well, things have changed a little bit.
A little bit.
Three months later.
I think it finally got to the kid.
Amnesiac is not very happy with Pavel's. Well, he's not very happy with a lot of people. There was some stuff going on at PAX South where he refused to shake Ray C's hand after the match. And he's been asking Hot Meowth for his spot at HCT for a while because Hot Meowth got a lot of his points from a previous tournament, and he doesn't like that because the points carry over. And now he's going after Pavel, and I'm going to just take a couple of tweets. These are word for word tweets. You can find them anywhere. He says, I hope Pavel high rolls his way back to the Bahamas. I want to wipe that grin off of his face myself. Why not Miss Lethal? So Pavel Miss Lethal. He goes, why not Miss Lethal as Pirate Warrior when you can just one third, so 33% the Dirty Rat in the skill-based control mirror, in quotations. Woo! He banned Rogue on purpose and won. I don't know anymore, man. Maybe I should ban Wrong and Miss Lethal so Blizzard likes me? This goes on. I'm about 1/8 of the way through these different tweets.
He's an angry individual.
They were very opinionated and very harsh, especially when you're talking about the most winningest player in the last year, if not all of Hearthstone. He's got a 70% win rate over 148 of his last competitive games.
Which is
games.
Crazy.
That's a great win rate, right? Amnesiacs, I believe, is like 63%, but it's only over 48 games, so it's a smaller sample size.
Yeah. To even match Pavel, like the next 110 games that Amnesiac plays, he would have to have nearly a 75% win rate to match Pavel at that pace.
Yeah. Anyways, Pavel, there's no debating that Pavel is an excellent, excellent player. You can argue with the other, you know, top five players who is really better, because how often do they face each other? You know, Pavel and Amnesiac, as far as I know, haven't played each other since World Champions. So how can you tell who's really better just based off of win rates for other things, including Open Cup grinding and all that stuff? But we did want to talk about, we're not going to talk about all this stuff like, you know, should he have said that? Should he not have said that? Whatever. Like, I don't think everyone's going to agree on that. People, for me, my personal rule is I like BM. I like being angry. I like saying mean things as long as it is not an attack on a person's character or something that they can't change. Like, for me, that's it. You don't make fun of, you know, race, sex, gender, orientation, mental capacity, any of that stuff. I don't believe in that. But to say that they're bad and they should feel bad, I'm all about that. I'll do that every day. I'll do that to Tannen on the show right here, right now. And it's not even true. So, like, I'm a little bit biased because I like a little bit of salt in my popcorn. But not everyone feels that way. So we wanted to talk a little bit about rivalries in the gaming community. Rivalries and drama and what role, if any role, it plays. So the first thing I wanted to chat with you guys about is rivalries. We've said on the show multiple times, even since Tannen has joined us, that we wish there was more rivalry type stuff in Hearthstone. We had Reynad versus Amaz, the two streamers who started their own gaming conglomerates, and they're talking crap to each other all the time, and it's hilarious. It's fun to watch, and it makes for great entertainment when those two organizations had clashed in the past. But outside of that, you know, how much really is there? So the question, Tannen, I'm going to lead this to you first.
Yes.
How do you foster rivalries in the gaming community, especially, and I want to put, like, to put it through a lens, like, is having a bad guy, is having a jerk a good thing or necessary to fostering those rivalries as well?
Necessary, no. Good thing, yes. Absolutely. Someone in the chat made a really good analogy. He's becoming like the Phil Hellmuth of Hearthstone. If you know anything about poker, he's like very adamantly telling everybody how bad they are. You know, very decorated player, very, very good player. But I love this, by the way, John. This is great stuff. I love drama on Twitter because I stay out of it. I completely get on my high horse and stay away from all of it. You know, I'm like you. I try to stay separated from it, but I love seeing this, and I love seeing emotion from players because there's nothing wrong with him being upset about what's been happening to him in these events. You know, like you said, he plays great and stuff. And again, I'm going to try to not to go down that road. We talked about, we don't want to talk about whether it's okay or not. He said that, but I'm just going to say that I love this. And I think it's great that we're going to have this rivalry and that he's going to be a bad guy, because here's the thing, we asked for it and boy, do we get it quick. I mean, we asked for it, last week on the show, and I could not have imagined it better than what's going on right here. I mean, like, just reading these tweets, like, one of my favorites, sorry, I'm not going to make a nice tweet and say congrats. He's, like, talking about, and, like, yeah, I'm going to paraphrase this, like I said, he's not going to pander to the 1 million people, you know, who watch Hearthstone.
Says he's not and, like, Tice.
Yeah, he's not Tice. Tice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just talking like that's not a call out of Tice at all. He's just talking about how Tice is like a super nice guy. If you've ever met him, he's like the nicest dude in the world, would never say a bad thing about anyone. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, with Tice. There's nothing wrong with the way that Amnesiac's doing this. I think, you know, there's a line, like you said, but honestly, this is great for Hearthstone. And I will say this, let's say Amnesiac makes it through to Bahamas and he's one of the favorites to make it through, right? He's one of the favorites to top four and get his way there. If him and Pavel meet up at literal any point of this tournament, any point in a big match, anytime this year, you know, winter championships, summer, world, I want to see them play the finals of the world championship, obviously. That will be the most hyped match of Hearthstone we've probably ever seen. And I can't wait to watch what happens if, like, Pavel just, like, 3-0s him or something, or 5-0s him, you know, and just, you know, beats the piss out of him, or like the other way around, if Amnesiac just beats him up. And there's gonna be hurt feelings, there's gonna be a lot of angry tweets on both sides, and I just can't wait to watch the fireworks.
All right, I like it. I like your beginning statement here, Tannen. JR, how do you feel about all of this?
I'm in the middle, and
no, like, you can't take a side.
I'm having a tough time with this, and I'll explain why. Rivalries in sports are great. You've got, Jordan versus Bird. You've got Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. Any of those, like, those, anytime those players went up against each other, like, they were able to just back it up and just It was a good game. Maybe there was some trash talking, but there wasn't a lot with those. However, there are some trash talking definitely with rivalries. I'm trying to think of some off the top of my head, but
81 versus the Pistons in the early 90s.
Yeah. Anything like that, because you'll hear players talk trash about, the other team or a player on the other team or something like that. And then sportscasters during that game will eat it up because they'll be talking about it. And it makes you more excited to see who's, possibly going to win to see who's going to be able to back up their words. And I think that is very, very important and a very good thing that Hearthstone could have. The flip side of that, what I am worried about is Amnesiac is 16 years old. He definitely wears his motion.
He's 17 now, guys. He's 17.
Whatever. Okay. Well, he's very young.
He's a child.
And he definitely wears his emotions on the sleeves. And I could see him definitely take, and I've seen him on stream take this kind of stuff too far. And that's what I'm worried about is you can be like really good with it and it could be a really good thing, but he has to be careful not to take it too far.
Good point.
What is too far? Let's define that for a second, because that could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Is it kind of what we talked about before with like my rules? Is like, as I long as so. It's not a personal, if, like
it is
Tan and
it
I
is
hate your nose
rules that you stated, as well as just being angry all of the time and just not like, I don't know. Like there's a fine line between being professional and just being a complete jerk.
Agreed.
And he's definitely walking that line.
A professional jerk and just a jerk.
Right.
I definitely agree with JR saying, and I think he's right on the line. Like, I didn't at any point today feel like, A, I'm not the person to reach out. I've done it in the past with him, but like, I didn't feel the need to be like, dude, you need to chill. Like Kibler tweeted at him, a couple of other people, hey, maybe calm down a little bit. But
what
then
are you
Ferdinand was like,
hoping to accomplish from this? Kibler said.
Yeah. I think it was more, something along the lines of that. And like, you're the only one that this makes look bad and stuff like that. And then Ferdinand was like, no, I love this. Like, give us more of this because, especially when you're like hosting events all the time, you want more storylines. And, JR made some really good analogies. I just remember when the Yankees would play the Red Sox and they're both good and they get in literal fist fights in those games.
Or even the old Royals and Yankees. Yeah. They would get in literal fist fights as well. It was awesome.
And we don't want to see fist fights. I don't want to see Popple and Amnesiac come to blows. Let's keep it on the digital felt. But, John, you really want to say something here?
No, I was going to say, I have the exact tweets for context here for a second. Kibler says, what's your goal here? The only person these tweets reflect poorly on is you. Frodan says, I agree, but I actually like it. Because we lack interesting rivalries and players. They're too afraid of backlash and comments.
And see, I think it's a really good thing to say, because like, here's the thing. We're not calling players cookie cut. They're not all the same guy. But like, if you didn't see them, like if you didn't see pictures of them or their webcams, they're all the same person, right? And now these people are getting differentiated. Like, there's Amnesiac versus Pavel. And then like, I'm not saying everyone go out and start calling people out on Twitter. I don't want to see Super JJ start calling out, some other random player since we just brought him up a minute ago, some other random player, or life coach start going after someone. We don't need it from everyone. You don't need it to be, the media or the people who like run the tournaments to kind of create this narrative to create more drama. But this is actual real. Like, this is raw. And that's what makes it so great. And I'm just sitting here with popcorn, just eating it up and loving it.
Yeah, it's very interesting, right? Because I had a lot of conversations with people about this all day. And I saw I saw a very polarized view. One was this type of behavior is necessary for a scene to grow and flourish because that's a big part of how how people interact with the games. I will say this straight up. People who listen to podcasts tend to be in the other camp of it's never okay. Leave it on the field. When you're on the field, be a Derek Jeter and, keep your chin up and, always be better than whatever's going on below you. I get that. and good on people for doing that and believing that and staying true to that. I don't think anyone's at telling people, Tannen, if you're an all around nice guy, this is not, hey, don't be such a nice guy. Don't be a Tice. Tice should continue to be Tice because he's Tice, right? The same time, JR, if you're a Reynad and you want to be a Reynad, but you're trying to make yourself a Tice because that's what you think other people want or something, then don't do that either. Like, you know, there's a fine line between these things. And do these dark horses have a place in communities like this? You guys compared it to baseball. I like to compare it to hockey because there's actual real fighting. The yeah. Wild and the Avalanche had an amazing, so I'm in Denver. I'm a Wild fan living in Denver. Hey, Wild are great. Go Wild. Anyways, living in Denver, and I would go to every Avalanche Wild game here in Denver. I would deck out my jerseys. I would wear, I had Gabrick game-worn gloves. I would wear those game-worn gloves there. And I had, you guys ever see, oh my God, why can't I think of the name of the freaking movie now? Anyways, the movie with the guys with the big glasses with the tape on them. I want to say it's Slapshot, but it's not, is it?
That's it. It's Slapshot.
It is Slapshot. Yeah. God, never hedge, John. Just talk. Anyways, we go there and dress up, and I'm going there just to ruffle feathers. Just to ruffle the feathers. And when those guys hit the ice, no joke, the two of the three games that I went to, on the first puck drop, there was a fight. There was a fight.
Yeah, they're ready to go before
it's a rivalry. Before it starts. They're jawing and they're fighting and all that stuff. Now, outside, when they're doing the press conferences, they're not calling out other players and saying, you know, so-and-so is this that they can't change. But when they're on the ice, they're like, I freaking hate your guts. I'm going to pound the snot out of you. Anyways, long way to say, that's kind of how I equate it. Is that equatable to video games, do you think, Tannen? We're talking about sports. Like, we're talking about physical sports. No, we're talking about a video game where I can't even chat with my opponent. I can say, what, 6 emotes?
Yeah. Well met. Yeah. Or right. Wow.
Yeah. The best BM you can do is tell them well met. Nope. Wrong one. Yeah. I don't have my well met thing on well met. Wow. Look at me. I suck.
But no, honestly, it's great, right? Like, can you really say that it's not good? You know, that it's not a good thing and like it's not equatable to sports? Because the thing is like, yeah, you know, we call it esports, right? They're digital athletes. And one of the main reasons you see people get in fights in these games or talk trash is because like emotions are high, right? You have adrenaline going through you. You can't tell me that when Amnesiac's sitting on his couch, or I'm sorry, probably sitting on his little yoga ball, his little bouncy yoga ball today, watching the EU championship, just watching Pavel carve through these people and doing it in ways that he thinks is wrong, you know, like missing lethal or like incorrectly banning with his lineup. You can't tell me that's not going to get at you personally. Especially after, you know, you lost to the guy in the biggest spot you could possibly lose to him and stuff. And, you know, like I know, you know, I was an athlete. I played a lot of sports and I never like got in a fight, but I wanted to a lot of times, you know, especially when like I feel like I'm better than my opponent and I just can't win. That's infuriating. You know, like why can't I win? And like you just want to lash out in some way and stuff. And like as long as he keeps it, like I think this is a healthy way to lash out. Like I'm not saying it's okay what he's doing, but it's better than him doing it in like some, you know, deconstructive way, you know, some demolishing way and stuff like that. And I love seeing this. And yeah, it's very relatable sports. These guys are athletes. They're digital athletes. And I'm surprised stuff like this hasn't happened sooner.
Yeah. Is that a character flaw, though? Like, is that is that grown men, or in this case, nearly grown men, is that them not being able to take care and handle their emotions? Because there are people who are going to say that. There are people who will say, if people aren't like, I don't know, who's the most zen type?
Derek Jeter.
Yeah, Derek Jeter, life coach. We'll use a practical thing, life coach. Doesn't really get tilted, always positive, always smiling and stuff. Is life coach the perfect guy? And anyone else who isn't trying to emulate life coach worse? Or no, is it different? No. Is it, can we embrace that individuality even when it means calling that other person out on Twitter?
I think we can. And I'm going to ask you a question back to kind of like make my point. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time?
Michael Jordan. Don't you dare say LeBron.
No, it's definitely Michael Jordan. Now, do you know anything about him? Like what people talk about him as a person?
He's a jerk.
Not as a basketball player. He's a huge jerk.
Lacks fashion sense.
He's known as some words that we can't say on this show. And he was known for trash talking, wanting to start fights and doing whatever it took to win within the rules. And I think that made him a better player. It brought him to that spot where he could just ascend beyond the game and be better. And, you know, you're going to start seeing that from players like Amnesiac. He really believes he's the best player in the world. He's been backing that up for the last year, that he is just actually one of the best players in the world, you know, and you're seeing that, and it's coming out through social media. He has no other way. He has no other medium in which to filter his words, right? He has no other way to get this out of himself. He can't play Pavel. Like, we don't have a tournament mode. He can't just go play. I'm like, let's get them a show match. Get them each to put up some winnings.
How much do you think the well-matched show match of Pavel versus Amnesiac would cost?
Yeah, let's get a Patreon.
More money than I make in a year.
Probably yeah, GoFundMe together. Yeah, I mean, like, how much would you watch that if, like, a week from now they were like some company, you know, like ESL was like, you know, hey, we got a grudge match. We got Pavel, you know, versus Amnesiac. Who do you think's going to win? And you can, like, put some money up to help make sure it happens. And these guys get to play for it. And, like, dude, I would want a camera on them the whole time. I want to see someone cry when this match is over. You know what I mean? I want to see someone with a broken heart. And I want to see Amnesiac play his guts out because he just cannot fathom, and he doesn't want to even like feel it in his stomach what it feels like to lose in this spot to a player that he believes he's just better than and just hasn't beaten. And you see these great players ascend past that, and I think it's just going to make him a better player and even more, you know, if it makes him a better player and more dedicated to this game, I say watch out, because he was already probably top three, top five player in the world, and if he just gets better or this focuses him even more, that's scary. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one more thing I wanted to bring up here, and I think this is an interesting one. And it was Ray C said this on Twitter, and he says that the Blizzard gaming community is so overly sensitive that people describe the Hearthstone community as toxic when it's compared to any other real game, League of Legends, Dota. It's like preschool. So,
yep.
And this, for me, I looked at it as this way. Blizzard has done something amazing where they've created and made their games, and it facilitated from the company themselves communities that are safe havens for a lot of different and diverse people. We've all seen people who don't fit the norm of gamers playing video games. The raid team that I'm on in WoW, there's two people over the age of 50. On, mm-hmm. you know, there's mother and son playing together and father and daughter playing together. And that's something totally different, though, in that can Blizzard be held to the standard of, or should they be held to the standard of other games do it, other professional sports do it, when Blizzard themselves have been very adamant in the past of, you know, all inclusive, anyone, what is it? They have their like 5 points thing, and one's like make a game for everybody to that extent.
Yeah, they have like 6 or 8 of them. I don't remember how many, but something like that is one of them.
One of it's basically just all about inclusion. And while it may make the game more popular, it may make the game more fun to watch, it may make the game more money, is it in the Blizzard community's best interest to have, we'll narrow it down to Hearthstone community's best interest, to have some of these dissenting opinions like Amnesiac right now, or Raynad maybe at his worst? I don't want to call out individual people, but like, I want to like to give context to it. That's the only reason I'm bringing in names. Is there still a place for that, knowing that Blizzard communities, at least on paper, are very different in that respect? I'll let either of you grab that.
I think it goes to what I was saying with Amnesiac earlier, though, is there's a fine line that you don't want to cross. And, you know, what he's been doing right now is, I don't believe he has gone over the line, but he's walking the line. And that could be okay. I don't want to see, like, I don't, like, what we're seeing now, something like this is fine. And I think it's okay. And it could be healthy for the community, and it can be healthy towards the competitive nature of the game. What I don't want to see is what happens if you do go over that line and you start, you know, things start happening where you might start yelling at someone because of their ethnicity or something like that. I don't want to see anything like that happen. And I have seen that happen in other games. And that's one of the reasons why I do like Blizzard, is they are very inclusive. They are very, you know, open to that. But they're also, they also put the hammer down on when you cross that line. And I believe very strongly that, you know, as a society, even, like, you know, it's important to, you know, see other people as human beings and not lesser than you or anything like that. And I think, I believe that goes along with our online communities as well. I see it far too often, things that are said that I just can't believe that people say to each other, even not if they're not saying it face to face, like it's disgusting. And yeah. I don't want to see our communities go to that end.
Sure.
And so I think there's a fine line there. And I think Blizzard does a very good job of it. And I like that they do.
Great. Tannen, what do you think? Should Blizzard communities be protected differently than other gaming communities because of what they've stood for in the past?
Yes and no. Here's the thing. Blizzard does a great job in protecting their communities. And I just actually want to say thank you, because I mean, I come from some pretty toxic communities. You know, I played poker for a living. Magic is not the best, though it's gotten better the last few years. And when I came into Hearthstone, I kind of like had my walls up, you know, and I was like, I'm gonna start playing this new game. I just expect everyone to be toxic. And I mean, I'm gonna give you all guys, you should all put a nice little pat on your back. You guys have been awesome. I don't just mean you two. I mean, like everyone in Hearthstone, just overall. I actually accept friend requests after all my games, because more often than not, it's a positive interaction. It's someone like, hey, like, I love your show, or, you know, your casting's okay, you know, like, kind of stuff like that. When I used to do a lot of casting and stuff. And it was almost never like, I hope you die. You know, like you get those guys every now and then or whatever. But, you know, I think it's great. And it's like, I think JR just nailed it in what he was saying. He's like very eloquently putting it that, you know, Amnesiac walked the line perfectly. And I think he did, because here's the thing. He did it all. Like all of it is within the realm of professional play. Right. It's all like tournament mode. We're playing very high stakes here. Like this is his profession right now. This is like, you know, what he's, you know, putting all his free time into. And it's fine in that. Now, if Amnesiac starts saying like, you know, Joe Schmo at rank 15 like emoted me 7 times as they played the game awful and then still somehow won because I just drew terrible the whole game, like that's just not called, like you're held to a higher esteem when you're this much of a public figure. And I think there is room for it. I think it's great. I don't think Blizzard should step in at all unless it does pass that line. And I love that they do protect their community, because I love that it's super inclusive for everyone, because without it our game wouldn't be as big as it is.
Sure. I tend to agree. And I think I think for me, what it really comes down to is, and it's tough because I honestly, I think logically it doesn't make sense. Logically, I think it's very difficult to have a conversation with anyone and say that saying somebody's, you know, JR and I are, you know, smack talking back and forth, that's okay in a community. Because why would anything bad be good, right? Why would anything be, you know, but honestly, I'll say it right now, the reason why I introduced, player versus player on this show is to get a little bit of a rivalry and smack talking going, and hopefully get JR or Kevin a little bit butthurt so that they could, you know, talk a little smack and get a little bit of frustration in there. And that, because it's, hey, it's fun. I still get emails all the time saying, bring back PvP. We're going to, by the way, we're going to. Ooh. But, you know, sometimes that discourse is fun. And if I'm saying it's because Tannen's lucky and bad at Hearthstone, fine.
True.
Great.
Fact.
Whatever. But there is a line, right? And in the end, Amnesiac did not attack Pavel's character. He did not attack things he could not change. He attacked the fact that he missed Lethal, felt like he played poorly, and backed up those tweets to a certain extent, and said that, you know, he was a lucky player. That's really interesting. And at least from scopes of, you know, guys who are married or in a relationship with no kids, like, that makes a lot of sense. If I was a father, would I go, that's look at true. Amnesiac? Yeah, look at Amnesiac. That's okay what he's doing. No, I've got a totally different.
No,
I've got a totally different filter now. I can be in the couch going, yeah, get him. But then, you know, to my son or daughter, be like, don't
do that. Hey, little Bobby, don't do that.
Go watch Life Coach. Don't watch Amnesiac. Right? So it is really interesting in that in the sense that while the negativity, I guess, is the big umbrella we'll put this whole Amnesiac attitude thing under, maybe good overall for the scene, doesn't mean it's good for everybody in every situation, right? And so, really interesting. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this conversation. I highly doubt many people will agree with everything that was said, because it's three differing opinions and it's a lot of stuff. And even then, like, I had, I think, over 80 different replies on Twitter of people chiming in with their opinions. And that's great. That means that people are passionate about it and they have a vision for what the community should be. You know, just like Dr. Winston in Overwatch, see the world not as it is, but what it could be or should be. Yeah. Anyways, there you go. That's your inspirational moment on Well Met. Let's get out of here, shall we? That was a fun conversation. I didn't expect us to talk that long about it. We usually talk about the meta, but nothing has changed ever. There's nothing new under the sun.
Big surprise.
So,
play pirates.
By the way, we are going to be playing here on twitch.tv/blizzpro after the show. Tannen and I are going to be hanging out.
Yes, sir.
While everybody, you know, hopefully comes and hang out. So if you're in the chat right now, hang out with us. If you're not, but want to come hang out with us in the future, we have more time to interact with chat and things like that when we're doing a live stream than we do on the podcast, make sure to head over to twitch.tv/blizzpro and give us a follow, hit that button, and you can even subscribe to BlizzPro. BlizzPro is a partnered stream, so you can do all of that there. We're going to be playing... Tana, I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe you should help me learn some more of this Miracle Rogue. We'll see. Anyways, so we're going to be doing that. Meta has not changed. Emails, I think I got one or two emails this week, and it was my birthday last week. I say this on every show.
Happy birthday, John.
Hey, thank you. You guys are so nice. And so I kind of fell behind on emails and admin stuff this week.
You're allowed. You're excused.
Patreon world, though. Tannen, do you have Patreon up? What do we got going on there?
I do.
Great.
Looks like we have a new Patreon, Adam L. And Adam, as I've been saying on the show, if you want a piece of me, you got it. You tell me when and where and how you want to play, and awesome. I'm going to bring the heat.
Great. I love it. We do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T., The Real Ben, and Corel. Thank you so much for your support of the show. iTunes reviews. What do we got going on here, JR?
Yeah, so we had a couple iTunes reviews this week. One from a Jaegerfish, which is now my all-time favorite name.
Yep.
And I know what I'm going to do after the show now. And the other is Wallace R. Brown. Thank you so much for those 5-star reviews, guys. If you'd like to leave a 5-star review over on iTunes, just head over on iTunes, do a little search on the podcast, type in Hearthstone, you'll find Well Met right there. Leave one, and we'll give you thanks on the show, the next show.
Awesome. All right, I think that's going to do it. Let's do shout-outs and such throughout the week. Tannen, you're up first. Where can people find you and any shout-outs you have for the week?
You can find me mostly on Twitter at TheTannenGrace. Pretty easy to find on there. I'm the only Tannen Grace on Twitter so far. Hopefully it stays that way. But other than that, I just got to give a shout-out to Amnesiac, man. Thanks for having your... Thanks for letting us step into your mind for a day after what's going on. You know, it's probably been festering in there for months since the World Championships. And thanks for giving us what we asked for on the show last week just so fast and so quick.
He's an avid listener, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Seems like a podcast kind of guy. So he gets all of his Hearthstone news. Yeah.
I taught him everything he knows.
Yeah. Anything else? Twitter, Twitch? Did you say those things already? I might have missed them.
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter at TheTanAndGrace. And I do stream a tiny bit on Twitch when I'm bored. It's at just Tan and Grace.
Awesome. JR, what about you? Shoutouts for the week and where people can find you.
Yeah, you can find me over on Twitter at Aldorian. I do tweet every once in a while, whether about baseball or Hearthstone.
It's the worst.
Software development or things like that.
That's the worst.
But no, shoutouts. Man, I just had one and then I completely forgot it. Oh, but on
the
Twitch,
people
though,
that you beat on Destiny.
What's that?
Oh, I was going to say, you're shouting out the people that you beat in Star Wars Destiny. Yeah.
No, I actually do have a legit shout out. There was an anonymous person that donated $75 this week to my Extra Life charity.
Awesome.
Go anonymous. So now that
brings my total up to 105. So awesome. Shout out to them. I'm going to try to stream this week. Work's been super busy. I got vacation coming up in a couple weeks. But if I am going to be streaming, it'll be over at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. And when I stream, it'll be for the Extra Life charity, which is a great charity to help raise money for the Children's Miracle Network and helping sick kids. Likely, I will be doing old school Nintendo games if I am streaming.
Awesome.
JR, let me know when you do that because I'm going to come in and donate.
Sweet. Nice. Will do.
Cool. As for me, you can find me on everything /kickedtripod, Twitter, Twitch, everything else, and my own website, kicktripod.com. I've been kind of posting stuff there, especially like the esports fast breaks and things like that. So those are all there for your viewing and listening pleasure. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that is going to do it for us here. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Well Met. Join us live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro to get in on the conversation and follow the show on Twitter at Well Met Podcast for additional news and updates. Well Met is supported by our fans. If you love the show, you can find out how to become a part of the family at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. You can also find WellMet apparel at store.blizzpro.com. Special thanks to Jake Butneau for our music and site designs for our graphic design. This has been episode 97 of WellMet. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.